We have the newly appointed chair to the Milken Institute Asia, Curtis Chin, with us. Curtis is also former US ambassador to the Asian Development Bank. And Curtis, you've just come from the G20, where we are waiting to see diplomats agreeing on this draft statement despite the rifts on Russia. Just how nimble does that show that the G20 needs to be when we've got all these developing concerns happening and the war in Ukraine really escalating?
Well, one question will be, let's see what that final language is, because I think they agreed before these missiles were I don't know, shot into Poland or appeared, people are saying, in Poland. Whether they originated through Russia or there were missiles in Ukraine that kind of fell back, we'll find that out. But when you think about our part of the world out here, Southeast Asia in particular, no country has really wanted to take a side in U.S.-China, and really no country has really wanted to say, yes, what is bad in Ukraine cannot come out here. So we've seen some countries, Singapore, Cambodia, have spoken up a little bit about it, but I think countries are having to face, what is no longer the elephant in the room, the Russian elephant, because we're seeing the impact with regards to supply chains, with regards to inflation. So to your question, my hope is that they can be more nimble, but sometimes nimble is about let's come up with some new rhetoric and not so nimble about really driving change and getting different kinds of results.
We've been talking as well about the impact, I guess, that we need to focus here in on Asia too, when you've had such big events happening in Asia, the G20, ASEAN. I know you're about to head to APAC as well. When we look at the countries here in Asia being more nimble to these geopolitical events, how much more does the world need to pay attention to Asia?
Oh, well, absolutely. I've long argued through many administrations. Yeah, I've been honored to serve in both Republican and Democratic administrations in the United States. And I would say all these administrations, we in the U.S. need to get our act together. And that includes, in essence, a full pivot to Asia. I don't know if you remember way back when under President Obama and then Vice President Biden, they talked about a pivot to Asia, but then it got the words changed to a rebalance to Asia. But at the end of the day, the United States at all levels, business, government, civil society need to be much more engaged in this region, and I'd argue in a key subset of this region, which is Southeast Asia. Southeast Asia, I remember the numbers, you add up the 10 nations of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. It's something like, 700 million people, more than $3 trillion GDP. That's a lot of opportunity for American business, for American entrepreneurs, but we need to focus on this and not cede this region to our economic competitors.
You talked about supply chain shocks just a moment ago, and we're certainly going to see that exacerbated by what we've seen in Europe. I was speaking earlier as well to the Trade Shift CEO, Christian Lang, who was saying that interest rates as well from the Fed are putting an invisible strain on the supply system. When do we start to see these pressures ease?
I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. So certainly not in the next two quarters, in my view. But as we've seen just overnight, how things change so quickly. And so when I think about, friends, colleagues, business people I see out here, inflation is really taking a toll on really everyday people. And so, in Thailand, where I'm based part of the time, I remember when the price of these instant noodles really went from, I can't remember, it was like 15 cents to 18 cents. And there were huge news stories about, well, maybe this family will buy one less or two less a week. And too often, I think, all these movers and shakers at these great Bloomberg events, they're at the macro level. But really, let's not forget the real micro impact of these big stories that we're dealing with.
And one of the things that is really worrying is it's going to exacerbate the food crisis too, and we're looking at potential further famine. I know you focus very much on sustainability. What more needs to be done?
Well, specific to food, people say, well, why is that? It's just not that grain isn't coming from Ukraine, but people don't realize that food at the end of the day is based sometimes on fertilizer, and fertilizer costs are typically driven also by what we just think are energy costs. How is fertilizer made? So clearly countries hopefully will be able to work together. President Jokowi, who led the presidency of the G20, has tried to bring nations together, not as successfully as he might have hoped. He had hoped that President Putin, Biden and Xi would all be kind of in the same room. That didn't happen. But clearly his notion of that we need to get countries to at least talk, if not yet cooperate, needs to continue to be a key driver. I also think, just wearing my Milken Institute hat, as we think about innovation in areas of finance, we also need to rethink things like food delivery, like where we get our food from. And my hope is that, you know, we're still in this pandemic, but as we continue to emerge, that it won't be just same old like it was before. And clearly how we grow our food will be a key part of that.
And feeding into the inflationary concerns too, when we talk about food, we talk about rising rents, we talk about the impacts there. When do you see inflation on a global level peak, and how concerned are you about a deep downturn in 2023?
Well, first, you know, I always listen to Bloomberg, to all the smarter people than me, because, you know, whenever I project something, it's like totally wrong. But very clearly, there's a lot of number of other factors at play, and typically they're domestic factors. So I'd like to say that the United States is going to focus on that same question and think through, you know, when are we going to stop, you know, these series of interest rates. But the reality, it's going to be driven by U.S. domestic concerns and how well our U.S. economy does. So, of course, I'd love to say it'd be sooner, because I want our U.S. economy to be better.
Yeah.
But I think it's still a bit of time coming before that happens.
All right. Well, let's talk about the U.S. And you obviously know a lot about politics. We've had the midterms. We've just heard that Donald Trump is going to run for president in 2024. Your views on what we're seeing between the Democrats and the Republicans?
It's always like a new news story every day that like has everything I said yesterday turned over. You know, out of these midterms, the reality is that former President Trump is a little bit weakened, right? A lot of the candidates, not say a lot, but some of the candidates that he supported clearly did not come through. The so-called red wave, meaning a sweep of Republicans winning, didn't happen. And there's now infighting within the Republican Party. So he's a little bit weaker. What that means for a key decision now by President Biden as to whether or not he will run again is unclear. But I think it opens up the race a bit more, that midterm election.
Always a pleasure. Great to see you in person after a couple of years, Curtis, although I think we caught up about 6 months ago when borders finally opened. But always great to have you with us, the chair of Milken Institute Asia, Curtis Chin, with us here on the second day of the Bloomberg New Economy Forum in Singapore.